Welcome to the Wellness Creator Podcast, where we delve into the business side of online wellness, sharing stories, strategies, and inspiration from people like you who are building meaningful income streams on the internet. If you're in the business of helping people to live healthier, happier lives, this podcast is for you. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get notified each time we release a new episode. Welcome, Morgan Kitzmiller, to the Wellness Creator Podcast. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you this morning. Can you go ahead and share a little bit about who you are, where you work, what else you do on the side, and then we can kind of dive in?
Of course. Thanks, Jenny. I'm super excited to be here. Super excited to talk about wellness, email marketing, all of the things. My name is Morgan. Like Jenny mentioned, I work for ConvertKit for my 9-to-5, my day job. And we are an email marketing platform for creators. So every day I am a creator growth manager. I work with our top creators to help them grow their audience, refine their email marketing strategy, make more money online doing what they love. And then on the side, I also have a sustainable fitness coaching business called Root and Rise, where I specifically help women create healthy habits and a lifestyle that they can actually keep, primarily through fitness, but also through implementing mindfulness habits or daily routines or understanding more about their bodies and food. So everything that comes along with fitness, wellness, and creating habits that you can actually keep.
That's wonderful. I know we'll have lots to talk about in the email marketing side of this conversation, but before we dive into that, I'd just love to learn more about this side hustle of yours in the wellness industry. I think it lends a lot of credibility to our audience because that's obviously where our folks are and what we believe in this little corner of the internet. How did you get started in that space? When did this side hustle come about? Or is this something you've always been interested in?
Yeah, so it's been a really interesting journey because when I first started working for ConvertKit 8 years ago, at that time we were email marketing for bloggers and everybody on the team had some sort of passion project or side hustle. And I was still kind of like figuring out my footing in the world and deciding who I wanted to be and just growing into myself and in my 20s. And I always knew after joining ConvertKit that I wanted my own project, that I wanted my own side hustle, that I wanted something that could be mine. And it took a few years of thinking about what that might look like until I'd made a big move in my life. I'd moved from Colorado, where I'd been for 7 years. I landed in San Diego and I'd moved there completely by myself. And at that time, I kind of was rebuilding myself as a person. I was like, who am I separate from all of my friends and the place that I've lived for so long? Like, what is my identity and how can I build myself up and create habits, practices, routines, things that made me feel the most like myself? And in that process, I found strength training. And I was somebody that had really struggled with my body image, with yo-yo dieting, with binging and restricting for as long as I can remember. And strength training was the thing that I found that finally helped me feel better about like working out with other things that I had been doing. I jumped from class to class. I was chasing other people's workouts and programs, hoping I would look like them. And when I started strength training, I was up against myself in the gym every single day. And in that practice, I realized that it helped me let go of those binging and restricting and yo-yo dieting tendencies. And it helped me cultivate more of a growth mindset. It helped me show up consistently. It helped me become a better version of myself. And so in that move, in that process, and like finding myself through strength training, I realized just how transformative that was. And I realized that that's what I wanted to help other women do specifically is find habits and a healthy lifestyle that they could actually keep, one that makes them feel better, one that helps them build strength and confidence, one that isn't focused on shrinking or getting smaller or skinnier. Not that those are bad things by any means, but one that really helps like build somebody up because that helped me build myself up. So a few years ago, that was a really long-winded answer. But a few years ago, I just started creating content on Instagram. That was the first place I started. And then I started creating free month-long programs that I would release to my audience using ConvertKit. I would just create a landing page in ConvertKit, and then I would release those to my audience every few months. And then over time, my audience was like, okay, we want to pay you for this. We want more. We want a program every month, and we want to pay you because you're giving us so much free content. You're giving out so many free programs. Let us pay you and do this for the long term. So at the beginning of last year, I created a digital product in ConvertKit. It literally took me a handful of minutes, creating a digital product and put it out there to my audience. And it's a monthly membership where people can pay for a new program every single month where they can improve their fitness, strength training, implement mindset practices like journaling, daily wellness challenges, things like that. And that's kind of where I am today, is in this place of having this membership that's now been going for a little over a year. So I'm at like 15 months and just trying to create content on top of that. So staying as present as I can be on primarily Instagram right now, because juggling all of the things is really hard, and then sending out emails to my email list.
Okay. So would you say that the place you find your clients is primarily through Instagram? Like that's where people discover you. That's your top of funnel.
Okay. Yep.
And would you recommend that to new wellness creators who are just getting started? Like if you were starting from scratch right now, is Instagram where you would go, or would you set up shop somewhere else on social?
I would recommend that somebody just picked one platform and went all in. I think as somebody starting out as a creator, you get really excited about all the platforms and all of the potential and all of the platforms. And I've been somebody that's kind of spent some time everywhere. So I spent some time on TikTok. I spent some time on Instagram. I spent some on YouTube. And over time, with just how busy my life is and the limited time that I have to create content, I found that going all in on one platform where I think my audience is consuming the most content, it has been the most beneficial. So for me, my audience is women in their late 20s or 30s. They're professionals, and they are looking for a way to create stability in their fitness routine, to create that strength, build confidence, those types of things. And I have narrowed down that I think they're most active on Instagram. So that's where I'm going to spend most of my time. But I'm also going to make sure that the content I share there is being automatically pumped out to places like YouTube and TikTok via an incredible app called repurpose.io that automatically reshares my content to those other places. So whatever the place is, I think that'll be dependent on where each creator finds that most of their audience is the most active, going all in on that place, but then also setting up some systems and processes so that your content can still work for you in other places, but you're not being distracted by all of the platforms at the beginning of your journey as a creator.
Yeah. I think that's smart. I think picking one is usually what we recommend that folks do for sure. And finding the one kind of where your quintessential clients are, like the people who are most likely to work with you, where are they spending their time? And does that align with your values? And then that's probably the right place to start. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think age as well. Of course, there are women in their 20s and 30s on TikTok. Like, absolutely. I know so many people that are on TikTok that are in my ideal client age group. But TikTok is also a lot of younger users as well. And so keeping that in mind of where is my target audience? Where are they the most active? Where are they consuming the most content? And then using that to your advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's smart. And I guess like one of the things that comes up for me when I hear you tell your story is that like you very much see your wellness business as a side hustle. And I think people in this industry have a complicated relationship with that, because I think when you're passionate about wellness and fitness and health, like you want to do that with your time. And so I just wonder, and sometimes I think people prematurely leave their jobs to build their businesses online. Totally. And just like, how do you wrestle with that? Is that something that's challenging for you? Or do you just see this as like a bonus job or a bonus project that you have in addition to your day job?
Yeah, that's a great question. There have absolutely been times when I've thought, is this something that I want to do full time? Is this something that I want to put more time and energy into? I think after a lot of soul searching, after a lot of journaling, a lot of meditating, a lot of really understanding like who I am and what values drive me, I've realized that stability and security are extremely important to me. And I'm also extremely passionate about the work that I do full time. I'm extremely passionate about the customers that I serve. I find that my work at ConvertKit inspires me to go out and be a creator because I'm also serving creators. So mm-hmm. I think I'm in a unique position where mm-hmm. I have this full-time job that is extremely fulfilling. I get so much out of the work that I do on a daily basis that it motivates me to also be a better creator myself outside of work. And so I know that won't apply to everybody, but going back to the security and stability thing, like I mentioned, there have been times when I've thought about, okay, is this something that I do want to do full time? And sometimes the answer has leaned yes, sometimes the answer has leaned no. But over time, I've realized that I really value that security and stability. I love my full time job enough that I want to stay there, that I do see my future and my growth there.
Yeah.
And that pursuing Root and Rise on the side as a side hustle, it allows me to, I think, have more fun with it. I think mm-hmm. I'm less passionate about it. I'm still wildly passionate about it, but because I'm not reliant on it for my well-being, for paying my bills each day, there's less pressure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's made it easier to show up. It's also made it easier to like pull back when I need to invest more time in my personal life or in my job. And so there are benefits to just viewing it as a side hustle. And maybe one day it will grow into a thing that can be full time, but that's not necessarily the goal right now. Right now, it's let me have this project and this baby that fulfills me because I'm so passionate about wellness. I'm so passionate about helping other women on the same journey that I went through, and just letting that be what it is right now until maybe one day it becomes something else. Maybe one day I decide I want to put more time and energy into it and go full time. But right now that's not the case because I am just happy in what my job provides me as well.
Yeah, I think that that's such a great lesson to share. I think so often in entrepreneurship, in that space, we start to feel like if we're only doing something as a side hustle or part-time, we're not real creators or entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I think I just want to dispel that idea a little bit, because you're still just as much of a creator if you're a part-time creator as if you were a full-time creator. And I think it does allow for that sort of like experimentation and playfulness, and you can have a different relationship to your creator work when it's not something that you're kind of relying on to sustain your life, as you're saying. So I think that's just such an important lesson to share. And I certainly, if I could give that advice to anyone listening, would say absolutely start with this as a side hustle versus putting, you know, staking everything you own and your livelihood on it, because you just won't have the same energy mm-hmm. and openness to try new things and seeing what really brings you joy if you're so dependent on making a certain amount of money. And I certainly started my business on the side and progressively put more and more energy into it. So I just would recommend that for everybody.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I also think with social media specifically, and in the wellness space, like that's where a lot of us are, is on social media. We're on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And being a wellness creator full time, I think can be extremely glorified. I think we're seeing more realness in that space. We're seeing more transparency of how hard it can be for people to continue showing up. But I think that it's important to recognize that quitting your job one day and going full-time into a wellness creator thing that you might not be ready for is going to be more difficult than a lot of people make it look. And so being realistic is extremely important. Yeah. If you do decide to quit your job to go all in on something, have you saved up enough money for that? Do you have a plan? Do you have processes or systems in place? Do you have goals that you want to reach? Like, how are you going to make sure that you can get there and that you're not doing it out from this frantic place of needing money, needing to find security? Because I think, like you had mentioned, I think a lot of creators, in your experience as well, a lot of creators start with it as a side hustle. So start with it as a side hustle while you have something that is giving you that security and that comfort. And once you start to see traction and you start to make money or you see it going in that direction, then make the jump there. Because I think it's more difficult to do full time than it can be made out to be on social media.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's an always changing landscape too. So just like kind of one more point in this is that I've been in this space for 10 years. You've been in this space for 8 years. It's a different world than it was 8 years ago, right? So it's like this constant adaptation and following trends and understanding what trends are not worth your time to follow. It's just so, so much. It's totally available to people to make this a full-time living. Absolutely. But it's a different thing than being a part-time creator. It's like a totally different job. So I think people have to kind of like figure out, like, you're making this from a values-based judgment. You're saying security is really important to you. So that's like super important to know about yourself, because some people that's not as important because of wherever they are in life or what values they have, and that's fine. But if you know that like security is one of your core values, you better be really clear about jumping ship from a job or having other, you know, gig revenue coming in to become a full-time creator.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So just thinking about that and your role at ConvertKit. ConvertKit's a partner brand of ours. We have so much respect for the work that you all do. Email marketing is a huge part of any online business. I'm just wondering, okay, we're in the spring of 2024. Mm-hmm. It is a different world. COVID has happened 4 years ago now. Our lives have sort of been topsy-turvy. Like, what's working with email marketing right now for creators? Like, if someone were, say, like in the first year of their business or considering like really diving into a side hustle, what would you recommend? Like, what is the cadence around sending email? What are your top tips that you share with the customers that you all have on the ConvertKit platform?
Totally. Well, just going out to all the wellness creators out there that don't have an email list yet. I think especially as a creator, wellness creator, at least in my journey, in my experience, I'm not sure about yours, Jenny, but I went immediately to, let me start my social media channel first. Well, actually, that's where my mind went, but having the experience that I do at ConvertKit, I know, let me create a landing page for an opt-in incentive, create my email list, and then invest into my social media channels. I think that's where a lot of creators go, is they think, okay, I need to create my social channels first. I need to show up on social media, grow my audience, and then I can start to grow an email list. I can start my website. I can do these other things later on. And the number one tip I would say to anybody out there that does not have an email list yet is sign up for ConvertKit or any other email marketing platform, but I'm obviously biased toward ConvertKit. Sign up for a ConvertKit account. You can start on a free plan. Create a landing page. Create a simple opt-in incentive using something like Canva, some sort of freebie, ebook, resource, whatever that looks like, and start growing your email list right now, today, because as we've seen with social media over time, is like there's the ongoing conversation of nobody seeing my posts on Instagram, or my views are low on TikTok, or I'm shadow banned. That's been like a fun thing on TikTok, is like people think they're shadow banned and their videos aren't getting shown to anybody intentionally. And the thing that I just want to make so clear to everybody out there that does not have an email list yet is that when you create one, when you start collecting emails, you have the power to own your audience. You get a control when you email them. And as long as you are sending high quality, engaging content, your emails are going to land in the inbox. You're going to know that they received your email. Whereas on social media, like you hit post and you don't know if it's going to show up on all of your followers' feeds, despite them being your followers. So that's the number one tip for anybody getting started specifically, is start investing in your email list today and start growing your audience over time.
I think that's so smart. And I kind of have, like, it's so obvious to me what you're saying is that in our industry, people start with social and building an email list is maybe a little bit of an afterthought. I don't even think that way because I got started in 2010 as a blogger. Mm-hmm. And I think I started blogging before I had an Instagram account even. So back when I was doing healthy living blogging and like dinosaur blogging days. Yeah. So I just come from like an era of like this social was not the first place, but I think for the last 10 years, social is probably where most folks start. And that's so smart. And I think that that's something that I've seen work in my own favor in our business. Like our email lists are many, many orders of magnitude bigger than our social following, which is the inverse of almost everyone else I encounter. because I've just always cared more about that intuitively, having that direct connection to our customers or to our audience versus like relying on social. So I think that's such an important point. So I guess like you glossed over this opt-in idea, and I just want like, if you could explain what an opt-in is. I have to do this a lot as well. Like for folks who are listening, who are in that more beginner camp, what do you mean by that? Go into Canva and make an opt-in. So your background is in fitness and weightlifting. Like what does your opt-in look like?
Yeah. So my opt-in incentive, so basically an opt-in incentive is anything that we can give to our audience that makes it more appealing for them to want to give us their email address and to want to subscribe. So of course I could have a form on my website that just says, subscribe to my newsletter or subscribe to get my blog posts. But we found that having some sort of opt-in incentive, some sort of freebie, is going to increase conversions because there's a little more value demonstrated there in something that you can give to your audience. So for example, for Root and Rise, I have a free 5-day challenge. Okay. So people will opt in. It's a free 5-day challenge to creating healthy, sustainable habits. Goes in line with my whole spiel of being a sustainable fitness coach, creating habits you can keep for good. And I have set that up so that once people subscribe, then they receive 5 days of emails. They get a different email every single day of a workout, a wellness challenge, a journal prompt, just like 5 days of helping people creating habits they can keep. For other coaches, that might be something different. It could be an ebook on fat loss. For a yoga instructor, it might be a free online yoga class. For somebody that's, you know, in Pilates, maybe it's a free how-to guide on engaging your core throughout different movements. I don't know what it is. That'll be different for each different wellness creator, but how can you create some sort of ebook, PDF, guide, exclusive video? Maybe it's a short email course like my free 5-day challenge, something that's small but demonstrates a little more value than opt in to receive my newsletter, because that will help increase conversions and get more people onto your email list.
Yeah, I think the newsletter opt-in prompt is great for writers. Like I think people who are like, that's their fundamental, like creator identity is writer, then that's great. But for everyone else, people are probably not super interested in reading a newsletter. Can I just ask you how frequently, because this is a question we get a lot and we're not an email marketing platform, we do our best to share our own advice, but how frequently are you sharing on your Instagram account to go like sign up for your opt-in? Like what is the cadence of that?
Mm-hmm. One of the best practices I always tell people is you have to remember to talk about your email list. You have to remember to talk about your opt-in incentive, your freebie, the thing that you want to get people to subscribe to. I try to mention it at least once a week. Lately, I haven't been doing that. Lately, I've just been kind of in my creating every day, seeing what comes up, not really going in with a plan or a strategy, which I don't recommend. This is just the season of life that I'm in, of things are chaotic and I'm just trying to survive every day. So I'm not in any sort of rhythm of how often I'm talking about that. But I definitely recommend talking about it at least 1 to 2 times a week, whether that's on like stories and posts, making sure that you're letting your audience know that, hey, I have this freebie, this opt-in, this incentive, please go opt-in for it. Or if you don't want to talk about it so directly every time, sharing other people's stories that have interacted with it, or sharing posts of you interacting with your own freebie. That's one thing that I do is with my free 5-day challenge, I'll frequently do some of the workouts from that challenge. Mm-hmm. I'll create a story of me doing the workout in my living room because they're all at-home workouts in that challenge specifically. And then I'll just post a story and say, today I did day 3 of my free 5-day challenge, opt in here. So I think there are ways that creators can also think about talking about the freebie, the opt-in incentive more creatively and more indirectly than just saying, go opt in here. How can you share other people interacting with it? How can you share people's success from it? How can you share learnings from it? You interacting with it, those types of things.
Okay. And I know we're going to get this question. What about ads? Like how frequently do you recommend that creators would run ads, like Facebook ads, for example, or Instagram ads to their opt-in?
I think that's totally going to come down to each creator and if they have the budget to do so, because I know as somebody that's just investing in my business as a side hustle, right now I'm not doing any sort of paid advertising. I think there's lots of other growth strategies that you can implement before you get to paid advertising. If you do have the budget, like I have a full-time job, so I could take some of the money that I'm making daily or even some of the money for my business and reinvest that into, let's say, ConvertKit ads. We do have those too, but that's something totally different. Investing those into growth via Facebook ads, I would say totally comes down to like, how much are you making? Do you have the means to do so? If you don't have the means to invest in ads, how can you focus on other things like collaborating with other creators on social, collaborating with other creators in places like the Creator Network on ConvertKit? That's an excellent way for individual creators to partner with other creators so that everybody's lists grow together. So to try to explain this in words, it's a little difficult with the medium of a podcast, but if somebody were to opt into my freebie, for example, after they opt in, there's a modal that appears where it says, hey, here are five other creators that I recommend. Go subscribe to these people too. And that's actually the way that I'm growing my email list the fastest right now, is because I've partnered with other creators there where we're recommending subscribers to each other and our lists are all growing faster because of that. So that's an indirect answer to your question, but invest in them if you can. I would also recommend, if you are investing in ads, start small. Try to test what messaging works or does not work before you pump thousands of dollars into any sort of advertising that's going to your opt-in. And then if you're not to that point yet, that's totally fine. Make sure that you're talking about it on your social channels frequently. And then make sure that you're partnering with other creators, both on social and then in places like the Creator Network, so that you can get more visibility without putting actual dollars or money behind it.
Okay, that's super helpful. And what about the frequency of sending emails? What is your stance, both as a creator and then also as a ConvertKit representative? What is like the sort of the minimum frequency that you would recommend creators are sending out email updates?
Ideally, if creators can send emails to their list weekly, that's where we're going to see great engagement. People are going to remember who you are. If you're providing value in those emails, if you're connecting with your audience in those emails, then your subscribers are going to stay engaged. They're going to look forward to your emails and they're going to hopefully stay with you over a long period of time and then purchase your products or services when you have those ready as well. So if you can send emails once a week, that's great. Some of our largest creators that I've been working with for years send 2 emails a week. Like that's a pretty regular cadence for, I would call these are like our powerhouse creators. A lot of them have teams. I think most of them are still writing a lot of the content themselves, but that might not be doable for somebody that is an individual creator, which a lot of us are in the creator wellness space. A lot of us are teams of one. So if that's you, try to get something out every single week. If you can't do every single week, aim for every other week. And if you can't do that, the minimum I would recommend is once a month, because with the game of email and email marketing, we want to make sure that our audience is staying engaged, because if our audience isn't engaged and we email to an unengaged audience and people mark our emails as spam and they complain, that can impact our deliverability, which is the way that our emails land in an inbox, or if they go to, let's say, the spam folder. So if we never email our list, if we have a super unengaged email list because we only email twice a year, a lot of people are probably going to complain and my emails might start going to spam, which is what we do not want. Yeah. To take advantage of email marketing, sending to an engaged list and sending frequently is really where you're going to see the value.
I would agree with all of that, just from my perspective too. Just thinking about something you said about the Creator Network and your email list growing through partnerships and collaborations, what is the mechanism for reaching out to these other creators? How do you decide who would be a good partner? What do you say when you reach out to these people? How do you initially broach those conversations? Because I think a lot of us think, wow, that's such a great idea. Of course, growing my brand and my business through partnership sounds fantastic, but there's got to be that sort of like initial point of contact.
Totally. Ideally, if you know the creators, that makes the conversation much easier. If you have friends that are in the space, you have friends that are on the same platforms, that becomes really easy of like, hey, let's partner together on this thing because we're both going to benefit. Our audiences are complementary. I think this is going to be a great fit. In the creator network specifically, we don't have a way to message other creators directly within the creator network. We do have a directory so you can find them. So I could type in fitness or wellness or nutrition. The way I went about it was trying to find other people that were in similar but complementary industries. So I'm not necessarily recommending other sustainable fitness coaches. It's pretty niche, but I would recommend maybe another nutrition coach or a hormone specialist or somebody that's focused on creating habits, healthy habits, those types of things. And I just found them through ConvertKit's Creator Network. And then I messaged them and said, hey, I'm Morgan. This is who I am. This is what I do. I noticed you were in ConvertKit's Creator Network. And I think our audiences could really benefit from hearing about each other's content. Would you want to partner together to recommend our subscribers to each other so we can all grow together? So it can be informal. It can be as simple as that. But if you have some sort of connection or you know somebody that knows somebody that might go further, they might actually open it. Obviously, you don't know if people are going to open your message requests on Instagram or wherever you choose to message, but that's how I would go about it.
Okay. And you typically message on Instagram then?
I do just because that's where I'm posting the most content. That's where I'm the most active. And that's where I feel like myself and my brand is best represented. But people and their audiences might be, it might be LinkedIn where they feel that that's more appropriate. If you can find somebody's email on their website, you can also email them. But I would probably try to find where that creator is the most active and then message them in that place because it's probably more likely to be seen. You could also engage with their content in other ways, like become a true fan of them as well.
Yeah.
And they might notice, you know, see your name pop up, see who you are, the audience that you serve, the things that you talk about. And that might be a better way to create that relationship a little more organically before you start that conversation.
That makes a ton of sense. And you also want to make sure that your values are aligned, and you know, your brands are aligned with each other before you recommend them. So that makes perfect sense. I would definitely want to like carefully curate who that list of people would be that I would be sharing with my audience.
Yeah. That's actually an interesting point because for me and for many other creators, that's really important. Knowing that these people I've hand selected and these people, you can definitely benefit from their content. Other people don't necessarily feel that same way. There are other people that just recommend other creator subscribers, newsletters, like not necessarily based on overlapping values or things like that. They just see the value in partnering together, even though they don't follow their content so closely or there's not that direct correlation between content. So some people see it as like a personal endorsement and other people see it as more of like a growth strategy, I guess is what I'm trying to say there. So I'm more on the, let me create intentional partnerships where we're endorsing each other camp. But also if you see people that you can partner with as more of a strategic collaboration, then that's okay as well.
Yeah, I think in wellness, it's a little maybe more important than in other areas to see that alignment because you might be recommending someone whose philosophy sort of like directly opposes what you recommend. And so like, you know, especially around things like fat loss or hormones or, you know, whatever, that like that could be tricky. But yeah, you could also just, I'm sure I would overthink it. So it can be a business opportunity, but also in this industry, you know, we have like pretty opposing views in this space around, you know, vitamin D or whatever, like people don't all think the same things. So that can get a little funny in the wellness world. Okay. Well, that's super helpful because we obviously are in the creator network as well and have met some great people. And it's great to hear your insider strategy of how to best take advantage of that networking opportunity. And because we're all on the internet, it's not as easy as if we were all at a conference and could go up and meet each other. So we've got to sort of like have a way to meet. So that's great. That's great advice.
But also going off of what you just said of taking in-person opportunities as places and ways where you can grow those relationships, grow those connections, so that maybe somebody else isn't on ConvertKit that you meet, but you really think that they should be because you really want to partner together in the creator network. If they just became your best friend in real life, then have that conversation to get them moved over so that you guys can partner together in a meaningful way to help grow your email list together as well. So definitely use in-person relationship building as a means to translate to collaboration online.
Awesome. I love that advice. So before we wrap up, Morgan, I'm just wondering if you have any kind of last minute tips that you would offer just for folks as they're making their way through 2024. We have a lot of customers on Marvelous who are also on ConvertKit on the platform. We can see from our integrations area. We have also have a lot that are not, but maybe should be. So what advice do you have for folks who have a wellness business, have a wellness brand, are sort of like, you know, their toes are dipped in this creator space, creator economy. They're making some money online. Maybe they haven't taken email marketing as seriously as they should. Any kind of last minute tips or recommendations, any blogs that you recommend people follow, or you mentioned that repurpose tool that you use yourself. Is there any other besides ConvertKit, anything else that you would send people to?
Totally. Our ConvertKit blog is a really great resource for people that are getting started that want more in-depth strategy on all of the things. So more in-depth strategy on Creator Network, want more in-depth strategy on creating a paid newsletter. You know, there's so many different ways that you can, or even like for my use case, using something like ConvertKit to run my membership. Of course, I'm like, one day I'll use Marvelous for my membership as well, but where I'm at right now, just doing it via ConvertKit has been totally fine. So creating digital products and services, all of those sorts of things, definitely check out the ConvertKit blog. Like I said, repurpose.io, that's a tool that I use that allows me to post a video on Instagram and know that that's getting reposted to YouTube and TikTok automatically without me doing a thing, which is great. As far as just other like tips or suggestions that I would give to people getting started or wanting to invest more in their email marketing in 2024, I think one of the biggest things that I'm constantly reminding myself of as well is remembering to show up as authentically as you possibly can in this day and age. I think with the rise of artificial intelligence specifically, we're seeing people put out a lot more content, and we're seeing that everywhere. We're seeing that in blog posts, we're seeing that on social media. But I think the content that's really working in this day and age, which applies to emails and newsletters as well, the content that's really working, the content that's really engaging, is the content that's coming from a place of authenticity. It's coming from a place of storytelling, of being vulnerable, of sharing your real life experiences and connecting with the subscriber or the person on the other side, that especially in the wellness space, that we're hoping to help. And so I think it can be easy to be like, oh, how can I use AI in my business? And I absolutely think people should, for things like ideation, brainstorming, planning. Like, there's excellent ways that you can use AI without letting it take away your voice and your passion and like the essence of who you are in your business and who you're trying to help and what you're trying to do. Because I think just a lot of people are leaning on AI as a means to an end and as a solution for everything. Whereas I think it can be a solution to help us, but the real success is going to come from telling our story and connecting with people on the other side and in an authentic way.
Yeah. I think that's such great advice. And I'm so glad you brought AI into the conversation, because I think it's something that is obviously constantly being talked about. It's everywhere. And I think there's a level of uneasiness as well, which is instinctual, right? We're all like a little like, what is this? There's something unhuman about it. But I love the idea of using it for ideation, brainstorming. Some of the most fun I've had in years, like making mock podcast art with AI, like just like it's like the most ridiculous, funny, weird, creative, like machine creative stuff. Would never use it, but it's hilarious, right? Like, but it gives you ideas. And so I think that's great. Like, these are tools, they're there to serve you, not to kind of like take over. That's really helpful. Yeah. Is there a particular AI tool that you would recommend just since we're on the topic of that? Like, are you using ChatGPT? Are you using something else when you're doing that ideating?
Yeah. So right now I'm not using it very heavily, but when I do go to it to ideate or to brainstorm or give me ideas, that sort of thing, I do go to ChatGPT. I wish I had some better suggestions. I do know that there are so many tools now, especially in the content creation space, that use AI to, for example, take a long form YouTube video and then automatically break that up into smaller clips where it's identifying the most impactful pieces or the tips or clips that think they'll perform the best as short form video content. So I can't give you any recommendations on what tools those are, but there's so many incredible tools specifically with content creation that for wellness content creators can save hours and hours and hours and hours of time. I know in podcasting, there's some great AI tools as well that automatically remove your pauses or your filler words or whatever that looks like. Again, I haven't used any. I don't have any that I can personally recommend, but especially as teams of one in the creator space, leaning into AI is something that can save us tons of time and that can also help prevent that burnout that so many people face in trying to create content and show up and share in all of the places every day for a really long time. So use it as a tool. Don't use it to replace yourself. I think
that's right. Use it like to save time. It's so good for things like video editing. I think that's going to enable people who wouldn't have had the time, say on the side, to like grow a YouTube channel, to be able to now do that without having a big team or a lot of expenses. I think it's kind of a great equalizer in that way, but the rest remains to be seen. I'm more wary of the writing part of AI than the rest of it, but that's great.
Do you use AI at all?
Yeah, I use ChatGPT all the time. I have my own GPT that's trained on my life story and writing and values, which is really fun to play with. Yeah, there's so much stuff like making your own GPTs and things like that. Yeah, that I've spent some time with that's super fun. And I've played with some of these more advanced, like long form writing tools and created a ton of content, most of which I would never use and would be fully rewritten, but it's really interesting. Like there's some tools that go in and like can take a YouTube video and then write long form content based on the YouTube video and that sort of thing, like super interesting applications where it just analyzes like the emotive elements of the video and then writes content based. But you've really got to be careful because it does just make stuff up. And so I think, and it's so confident, and especially in our industry in wellness, you don't want to be putting out inaccurate, like you really can't do that. And what it does is then like future AI is going to get trained on the trash that's getting published now. Like that's my fear, is that we sort of end up in this reality where there's no real expertise or shared understanding of anything because it's all just iterating on itself.
Totally. There have been things I've typed in. I wish I had an example, but there have been things that I've typed in that from like a fitness and nutrition standpoint that it gave out that was just wrong. Like 100%.
Yeah, it's totally wrong.
100% inaccurate.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
I had the knowledge and the awareness to be able to identify it, but how many people don't, and how many people are just taking everything there as a source of
most
truth?
Most people are just,
it's horrifying.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing, is it's also kind of boring. And so that's the part where you're like, be authentically yourself in how you show up as a creator, because that's how you stand out against all of this, is like infusing your personality. And I mean, right now it's hard to fake a TikTok or it's hard to fake an Instagram reel, but pretty soon deep fakes are going, like, you're not going to be able to tell if it's really the person or not. Anyway, it's all coming for us.
It's crazy. Yes.
That's just be like a fully authentic, real person in the universe. And I think you'll be okay. That's going to become more and more of a rare commodity. And that's who people want to buy from, honestly. 100%. So that's the answer to all of this.
Yes, those are words to live by.
Yeah. Okay, Morgan, well, this was so fun. Thank you for taking the time to chat today. And where can folks find both your personal creator business online, and also where can they learn more about ConvertKit?
Yeah, of course. ConvertKit is just going to be ConvertKit, just like it sounds, ConvertKit.com, at ConvertKit on all socials. And then you can find me and Root and Rise at rootandrise.co. And then on, I'm working out the social handles, but most places it's at underscore Root and Rise. So Instagram is where I'm most active. You can find me there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you so much for having me, Jenny. This was so fun.
You're welcome. This podcast is brought to you by Marvelous. Marvelous helps you build and sell your own courses, coaching programs, memberships, and digital products. Go from idea to open for business in just minutes. If you're looking for a simple, beautiful, custom-branded platform to build and grow your online business, you can learn more at heymarvelous.com.